Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something really central to how each of us makes choices, big and small. Understanding our own internal compass, our worldview and values when we're, processing decisions.
Yeah, and we're digging into the work of Dr. Gary Metters.
Exactly. Specifically, his Session 10 lecture and his book, Decision Making God's Way. Now, that original Baker Press version, it can be tough to find.
Right, but it is available digitally through Logos.
Yeah.
In English and Spanish, actually.
Which is great. And exciting news, Dr. Metters is actually in the process of rewriting and expanding these ideas, so there's more to come on this whole topic.
That's cool. But what's fascinating to consider, like, right off the bat, is that your worldview and values act like a unique grid inside your mind.
A grid. Okay.
Yeah, imagine like a filter or a lens. It's how you interpret everything that happens around you, you know?
Yeah.
From a casual comment to some major life event.
So this perceptual set, as Dr. Metters calls it.
Uh-huh. Your fundamental way of seeing things. It deeply shapes the meaning you find in your experiences.
Like that saying, as a person thinks, so are they. It really starts there, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Oh. It truly begins with that internal framework.
And Dr. Metters offers a really helpful way to think about making godly decisions. He outlines a process.
Right. Starts with understanding God's revealed will.
Yeah, both his big picture plan, his sovereign will, and his desires for how we should live, his moral will.
Okay.
And from there, we move through what he calls godly discernment, like using our understanding and judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to our applied will, the actual choices we make.
Got it. So revealed will, discernment, applied will.
You know, it's kind of similar to how we approach understanding the Bible itself. First, grasping the core message, the teaching intent.
Right, the main point.
Then doing some theological analysis to understand its meaning. And finally, seeing how it applies in different ways, direct, implied, even creatively.
That makes sense. Kind of levels of application.
Okay, so let's unpack this further by looking at a potential trap, becoming like overly dependent on others for our decisions.
Oh, this reminds me of that movie. What About Bob?
Haha, yes.
It's a really insightful, if maybe a bit extreme, illustration, right?
Totally.
The main character becomes completely reliant on his therapist for, like, every single decision. He loses his own ability to think independently.
Yeah, it gets pretty crazy.
And Dr. Metters uses this to highlight a crucial point. While God absolutely wants us to depend on him, this isn't meant to paralyze our own ability to discern and make choices based on a worldview and values informed by him.
So God doesn't want us to be like Bob.
Exactly. He doesn't want us constantly seeking external human guidance for every little thing.
Right. It's not like God hands us a detailed playbook for every single situation we'll ever encounter.
No, not at all. He gives us principles and, well, a way of thinking.
And this leads to the idea that while our relationship with God and our process of discernment are deeply personal, it's definitely not meant to be a completely solitary activity.
Precisely. Even though your walk with God and your decision-making process are unique to you, Dr. Metters really emphasizes that we shouldn't isolate ourselves entirely.
We need community.
Yes, trusted friends, mentors, people who can offer honest feedback, and maybe a different viewpoint that can help us see our own blind spots and biases.
Those things we might not recognize in ourselves.
Uh-huh. And what's fascinating here is his point that a resistance to being evaluated, to getting that outside perspective, actually hinders our personal growth.
Wow, okay. So if you're not open to self-critique,
you're likely not open to learning and refining your ability to discern. It holds you back.
That's a really powerful point. So how do we actively work on developing these discernment skills then? Dr. Metters highlights several key areas, and the first one is the real need for self-criticism.
This is absolutely foundational. He stresses the importance of being willing to critically examine our own presuppositions.
Those underlying beliefs and assumptions we hold, often without even realizing it.
Exactly. The stuff that shapes how we see the world. We also need to look at our traditions, even our religious affiliations, whether you identify as Baptist, Catholic, Protestant, Presbyterian, whatever.
So understanding how those influences shape our thinking is crucial for making sound judgments.
Absolutely. Hmm. We need to ask ourselves, how does my background, my ingrained way of thinking, affect how I'm approaching this particular decision? It's about self-awareness.
And building on that self-awareness is the really critical element of knowing the Bible in its context. It's not just about having a general understanding of moral teachings, is it?
Not at all. Dr. Metters is quite direct about this.
Mm-hmm.
He expresses concerned about like a superficial understanding of the Bible without a deeper grasp of its original historical and cultural context.
Okay, so we need more than just the surface level.
Definitely. To properly apply scripture to the decisions we face today, we need to understand what those words and stories meant to the people who first heard them. He gives the example of 1 Corinthians discussing legal disputes. We can't just lift those passages and apply them directly to our modern legal systems.
Because they were Roman courts back then.
Exactly. Operating under a completely different set of laws and customs than, say, the court system in the U.S. or the U.K. today.
Yeah.
Totally different context.
And to really get that contextual understanding, he recommends some specific resources.
Right. Yes. He specifically recommends Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible. Says it's a really valuable tool.
Okay, Erdman's. What makes it so good?
Well, it's much more than just a list of definitions. It contains in-depth articles, introductions to each book of the Bible that give you background info, covers important names, places.
Ah, so it helps piece together the world of the Bible.
Precisely.
Mm.
And it's all organized to align with the English Bible,
yeah,
which is helpful. It can be an incredible resource for understanding those historical, cultural, and linguistic nuances.
Okay.
Dr. Metters also introduces this really crucial idea. The Bible was written for you, but not to you.
Ooh, that's a really interesting distinction. Can you explain what he means by that?
Certainly. Think about the letters in the New Testament, the epistles. They were written to specific communities or individuals facing very particular situations, right?
Yeah, like Paul writing to the church in Corinth or Ephesus.
Exactly. The church in Ephesus had its own set of challenges. The believers in Colossae faced different issues, and a letter like Philemon addressed a specific personal situation.
Okay.
So while the timeless truths and principles within those letters absolutely apply to us today, they were written for you, we first need to understand the original context, the specific problems being addressed, what the message meant to those original recipients. It wasn't written to you directly in their exact circumstances. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It respects the original audience.
Right. And as Dr. Metters puts it very clearly, a text without a context is just a pretext. You're basically twisting it to mean whatever you want.
That's a strong warning.
It is. He even mentions 1 Corinthians 5.22, avoid all appearance of evil, as an example where looking at different Bible translations can sometimes offer a richer, more nuanced understanding of the original intent, rather than just a surface reading.
So it's about really digging in, understanding the original setting, not just pulling verses out of their historical and cultural background?
Exactly.
Okay. What other practical steps does Dr. Metters suggest for sharpening our discernment?
Well, he really emphasizes the value of journaling.
Journaling. How does that help?
Regularly taking the time to reflect on your own worldview and how it shapes your everyday experiences. It can provide incredible insights. It's like regularly updating the operating system of your internal computer, as he kind of puts it.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. And he also stresses the importance of identifying and clarifying your own personal values, what really matters to you.
That seems harder than it sounds sometimes.
It can be. He even suggests that times like Christmas, with its often conflicting messages of commercialism and traditional values, can actually be a good time for this kind of reflection.
Huh. Interesting. Using cultural moments.
Yeah. And interestingly, he also touches briefly on the power of imagination, referencing the author Warren Wiersbe's perspective on its importance, particularly in the lives of children, but really for all of us.
Okay. Imagination, too. And then he moves into how we can actually apply all this with a decision-making process, mentioning something called a decision-making grid. Now, we don't have all the details of that grid here, but what's the main idea behind using a structured approach like that?
The core idea is simply to have a deliberate and organized way to approach complex issues by consciously applying your worldview and values, not just reacting, but thinking it through.
Makes sense.
Dr. Metters gives some pretty thought-provoking examples, like how might a Christian navigate living in a country where their faith is illegal?
Wow.
Or the ethical dilemmas doctors face today with advancements in genetic engineering or the use of fetal tissue. These are complex modern issues.
And the Bible might not have a direct verse for genetic engineering, yeah, right?
Exactly. In those kinds of situations, you might not find a specific verse that directly answers the modern question. That's where relying on broader biblical principles becomes crucial.
Okay.
And potentially consulting with experts in relevant fields like Christian philosophers or ethicists might be necessary for making well-informed decisions. It's about taking the specific issue and systematically working through it, using that framework of your values and your biblical understanding.
He also talks about using a case study approach for decisions that are particularly significant. Can you walk us through how that works?
Absolutely. For those really important, maybe life-altering choices, Dr. Metters outlines a very thorough process. It seems pretty helpful.
Okay, what are the steps?
First step, clearly state the decision you need to make. Actually, write it down. Sounds simple, but it focuses you. Then identify all the different issues that are involved in that decision. What are all the facets?
Break it down.
Yeah. And if it helps, create a detailed case study or even a short story to flesh out the specifics and make the situation more tangible, more real.
Right. Put some meat on the bones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The next step is to run that decision through your decision-making grid, adapting the questions as needed for the specific situation, obviously.
Using that framework we talked about.
Right. And this process should help you identify and clarify the key questions that require further research. Think about those big, often complex questions. Maybe decisions around family planning, end-of-life care, significant career changes, things like that.
Issues where there might be biblical input, but it needs careful thought.
Precisely. While there might be relevant biblical passages, they often require careful interpretation and understanding within their broader context.
And the research aspect seems really critical at this stage.
It's absolutely essential. He emphasizes thoroughly researching those clarified questions. Use tools like Bible concordances to really dig into the meanings of words in their original languages, like Hebrew or Greek.
Going beyond the English translation.
Yes. But he also points out that often you need to go beyond just specific words and explore broader theological concepts. That might mean consulting theology books or other scholarly resources.
Getting the bigger picture theologically.
Yeah, huh? Once you've done your research, you bring your findings back to your decision-making grid and work through the decision again, now with more information, more insight.
Okay, revisit the grid.
Then, listing out the potential pros and cons of each option and taking time for thoughtful reflection. That's another important step in the process. Don't rush it.
Weighing the options carefully.
After this thorough work, you should be able to identify the legitimate options within the decision-making scenario. You then carefully consider those options, maybe eliminating some as you gain more clarity.
Narrowing it down.
And ultimately, make a decision. But importantly, he emphasizes that this is often a cyclical process. You might need to revisit and refine your thinking as you go, or as new information comes up.
It's not always linear.
No. And Dr. Metters reminds us that for most of the really significant questions we face, we probably won't find a direct verbatim answer in the Bible.
Right.
So we need to learn to think in terms of larger biblical categories and trust that God cares deeply, even when the specifics aren't explicitly spelled out. Don't assume he's silent just because there isn't a verse that says thou shalt or shalt not do X modern thing.
So to really boil down this model, it's not about hunting for some magic answer in the Bible that directly addresses every modern problem.
No, definitely not.
But rather, it's about a continuous process of bringing a biblically informed way of thinking to the real world issues we face.
Exactly. It's fundamentally about the ongoing transformation of our minds,
yeah,
like Romans 12 talks about. Dr. Metters makes the point that everyone, regardless of their beliefs, makes decisions based on some worldview and set of values. It's unavoidable.
Right. Everyone has a grid.
Everyone has a grid. However, for those who believe, that commitment to a biblical worldview provides what he describes as a divine edge in our desire to please God.
A divine edge. I like that.
Yeah. The ultimate goal isn't just to gain intellectual understanding or to discover some abstract concept of God's will, but to actively do it. To live in a way that aligns with God's principles.
It's about action, not just theory.
Right. Our freedom to choose isn't unlimited. It's shaped by our nature, our fallenness, but also by how we apply our informed worldview and values.
Yeah.
And he also mentions, just as a heads up, that future discussions will explore related and equally important topics like our conscience, the role of the Holy Spirit, prayer, and God's providence, all of which contribute to this complex process of decision making.
So there's more layers to uncover.
Definitely. It's a big picture.
Well, this has been incredibly helpful. It really highlights that navigating the complexities of life and making decisions that honor God requires us to be, well, actively engaged. Engaged in understanding our own internal framework and diligently studying Scripture within its proper context.
Absolutely. The core message here is that active and ongoing integration of your personal worldview and values, deeply informed by a contextual understanding of the Bible. That's essential for navigating the complexities we all face and striving to make decisions that reflect a life lived in accordance with godly principles.
So for you, the listener, maybe take a moment to consider, how does your own perceptual set, that unique lens you have, influence your understanding of things and the decisions you make every day?
Yeah, it's a good question to ask yourself.
And we really encourage you to explore some of the resources Dr. Metters mentioned, like Erdman's Dictionary of the Bible, maybe even start journaling about your own worldview and values.
It's truly a journey, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Continuous learning and refinement, not a one-time fix.
Definitely a journey. Thanks for digging into this with us today.